On Monday of this week, we heard of a dinner party. Jesus was at the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. He had gone there for dinner in the company of friends. It was to be downtime, time to relax and enjoy what would be a final dinner in the home of his friends. That dinner was interrupted. Mary first interrupted by the casual gathering by pouring a year's salary worth of nard on the feet of Jesus, and Judas furthered the uneasiness by his snippy comment about the fact that Mary had been so wasteful. Tonight, we hear again of Jesus gathering for a meal with friends. One would think this would be a relaxed time, a time of conviviality, a time of conversation and enjoyment in the company of those Jesus was most able to be comfortable with. But in the first sentence, we are clued in that this is not the case. As soon as we learn that Jesus is at supper with his friends, we are also told he is troubled in spirit. And we know that this is no small thing. Jesus is bothered to his core, and the bother will not be swept under the carpet. He declares to those around him, "Very truly, one of you will betray me." Immediately, eyes dart around from one to another. The sense of disbelief is palpable. The disciples are so caught off guard by this bold declaration from out of nowhere that they begin to look nervously around to see who knows something. Jesus has been a bit more jumpy lately. He's not exactly been acting like himself. After the eyes of the disciples scanned the room, trying to determine which one was guilty, the eyes fall to the floor. Another rebuke is about to happen. They each feel certain. But since each one is again baffled by the words of Jesus, their eyes find a safe spot for staring. One would certainly not want to meet the piercing eyes of Jesus at this moment in time, and in that moment be known to be the betrayer. The disciple known as the one whom Jesus loved, presumed to be John, is right next to Jesus, reclining, as is the habit. Peter, not known as the most impetuous, but so often shown to be, leans over to the beloved disciple and says, "Hey, ask him who it is." So the beloved disciple does what is asked of him and turns to Jesus, questioning, "Lord, who is it?" And in typical Jesus fashion, he answers in near parabolic form, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." And we wonder why he didn't just say, "Oh, John, you haven't been paying attention. Don't you remember that outburst in Martha and Mary's house? You should know it's Judas." But Jesus, ever the teacher, ever the one wanting to draw understanding out of those who follow him, rather than handing it to them on a silver platter, doesn't say, "Oh, Judas, of course." He says, "The one to whom I give the piece of bread dipped in the dish. It's the one I would give a part of the meal to. The one I will personally hand this over to. My last engagement with him as a disciple will be my handing him a piece of the meal that we will all share." And so it went. Apparently, John kept this information to himself, or Peter did. But as we hear, Jesus did give the bread to Judas. And in that transference, Satan became involved. and no one at the table noticed a thing. They'd stopped staring at the floor. Their scolded puppy demeanors had returned to normal, and they were totally enthralled when Jesus said to Judas, "Do quickly what you are going to do." They thought of excuses for this statement, even though just moments before, they were anxiously staring at their feet, wondering who it was that would actually betray Jesus. Maybe Jesus was sending him to the store for supplies. Maybe he was suggesting that he give something to the poor. The lack of short-term memory of the disciples should make us all feel a bit more at ease. But their overarching inability to see what was going on, to recognize who Jesus is and what he is about, should make us feel quite uncomfortable. Judas knew what was going on. The only one who got it was the one who would betray Jesus, the one who would put things in motion, who would give the opposition the information they wanted to find Jesus and get rid of him once and for all. It's a bit odd that the only one who understood is the one who would betray. We hear that Judas left, and it was night. It was dark. The light is fading. From now on, it will be dark. It's now all set in motion, and we continue to walk the way of the cross. We walk with Jesus to the cross, and we wonder how much we understand. Amen.